It seems that you've worked in so many different places and have always appeared extraordinarily comfortable. Germany for 10 years. You know, you post for publicity photos in the West and you look like a guy who's lived all his days in the West. In San Francisco, you look incredibly comfortable. Mm-hmm. You go back to your roots, you go back to Scotland, and you start to look like you belong there. Are you aware of this phenomenon, or is it something you've developed?
I've always chosen to go to places to work where, and particularly when I return to those places, where I feel there's a, what I have to offer matters. And certainly, you're right, in my first years in Germany, I was very much treading a well-trodden and very storied path of as a coach and as a young conductor and standing in for senior conductors and really learning the repertoire there. And I felt very comfortable doing that. And when I went to San Francisco, I went to San Francisco on the basis of my relationship with the orchestra. This was during a ring. And so once again, for me, it was a matter of, yes, I want to work at the highest possible level, but I'm not ambitious to the extent that I have to conduct it there, I have to conduct it there. I have to feel comfortable in a place. And I've never really considered myself Scottish in that sense. There's really not a lot of nationalist blood in me.
No, but you're very Scottish in that respect, in that you can go and you look at the great Scottish migrations over the centuries, and they've always gone and they've fitted in and they've become, you know, it's not for no reason that we have a Carnegie Hall, we have the Smithsonian, we have these Scots who became more American than the Americans themselves in one case. There's a great history of Scottish migration where they don't not necessarily lose their Scottishness, but they certainly become very much a part of the community they enter.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly as being an immigrant, I was fully aware of, as many in past generations have been aware of, this tall poppy syndrome, the fact that in and this is not specifically uniquely Scottish, it's probably as much Irish as it is British English, this to be wary of people who excel in something. And we're, as you know, whether it's in the arts or the sports, so many great things are taken to an amateur level, but in order to really excel, you go abroad. And this Scotland's no different in that being a prophet in your own land. There was therefore certainly an incentive for me to, in classical music and opera, well, of course you go to Germany. And from there it took me to America, and it's taken me back to Berlin. But as I say, for me, the driving force in all of this is, where do I feel my presence matters? Where does my music making, my thoughts about music, make a difference? And certainly as a music director, or a general music director in Berlin, I have a very large responsibility in shaping a season. I mean, the operas that we perform, I have a very big say in quite literally shaping the lives and potential careers of young singers. People I recognize great talents in that I would not give a role this year, but perhaps in 2 years they will grow into that. So that in that sense, there's also, this is a relationship. And that's certainly been the driving force that has driven me, and I'm deeply grateful for it, around the world, and brings me to the most remarkable places and continents.
What brought you back to Scotland? What convinced you that it was the time to go back? And what did you find when you got there? Because it's never the same, right?
I was approached, well, this goes back actually to about 2000, 2001. It was at the Edinburgh Festival. Then general director of the Edinburgh Festival, Sir Brian McMaster, was very eager. I had already been there a few years and was very eager to do the Trojans, Les Troyens, Hector Berlioz. And we were talking about, well, who do I do this with? And he suggested, you know, I think the BBC Scottish would be the perfect orchestra for you. I'd never worked with them. We did this in 2001, and it was marked not only by, I think, excellent music making, but also the debut of Lorraine Hunt Lieberson, who is sadly no longer with us. There was something, there was electricity. It just, my relationship with that orchestra worked, and I had every intention of returning as a guest conductor. And they then approached me a few years later. I remember Gavin Reid, the general manager of the orchestra, flew out to San Francisco and courted me, for want of a better word, would I be interested in coming, not so much back to Scotland, but would I be interested in being a chief conductor? And initially I thought I didn't have the time. But we looked in it, and I came back to the orchestra and worked with them, and I've said this on a number of occasions, it's not specifically because it's Scotland, it's not because I'm from Edinburgh, it's not because I'm going back to my roots in that sense. If that orchestra had been in Sydney or in Paris or in Vienna, I would have gone there. That is also to underline the fact that the BBC Scottish Symphony is an extremely fine orchestra. The fact that I'm going back to Scotland, the fact that I am, in a sense, in a very real sense, giving back what I was given, that is to say, going back to mentor young conductors or to put on opera in concert. For me, it's a very rewarding feeling that it was in these some of these same concert halls that I was infected by this virus, infected by, this wish to conduct and wish to immerse myself in opera. In that sense, yes, I'm delighted to go back, but it wasn't the driving force.
You talk about going back to your homeland. In this program, we have a composer who, for many Britons, helps to define who they are. Does Elgar have that resonance in Scotland that he has in England?
I think you're being a little sectarian when you talk about does it resonate in Scotland, because of course it resonates in Scotland. I mean, my father was from London. We were considered Sassenachs, which sounds derogatory, but it wasn't really. There are so many people of English progeny, heritage there. There is not, as one, of course, would like to portray abroad, that somehow Mel Gibson is over some hilltop shouting words. And yes.
Well, it's not entirely inaccurate. I mean, there is talk of Scottish devolution at the moment.
Yeah, well, exactly. But I'm not going to say anything remotely political ever again on any radio station. But
Go on.
Won't. But I do think that one exaggerates the differences, and all I can say is the music of Edward Elgar resonates as strongly north of the border than south of the border. And I was digressing somewhat, but I for me too, I'm fascinated how the music of Elgar, particularly in this country, in America, resonates too. And I'm sure that has a lot to do with the fact that there are many people probably in the audience tonight, who have British forefathers, who feel that somehow originally this is where I came from. I know the many, many Americans I meet, for instance, when I'm in Scotland, staying in a hotel, and they're visiting Glasgow or they're visiting Edinburgh, and they are wide-eyed with wonderment, just the chance to visit these places.
The homeland.
The homeland, exactly.
Before it came to mean something else. Not wanting to be political again.
No. Great series, but oh gosh, that's already political. But I do think there's a great, and I use this word judiciously, there's a great romance with Scotland internationally. Because this is, as we were talking about, this is a place where many, many people, they spread out from this tiny island, and some would say conquered the world. But they spread out, and I think there's certainly the music of Edward Elgar, I think, touches a chord in certainly many in this country, specifically in America. Less so, for instance, in Germany. Having said that, last year I was with the Berlin Philharmonic, and they specifically asked for Edward Elgar. And it was a program of Edward Elgar, the first...
But they've had 10 years of education now, you understand. There's a certain Briton who's been helping them with their studies.
Well, yes, but interestingly enough, Simon, I think, was less interested in introducing British music there. He was more interested in performing Haydn and Janáček, etc. But anyway, I took that there, and I was really a little nervous about how I would rehearse it and how the orchestra would take to it. It's not... a work that they've played a great deal.
This was the Enigma Variations, right?
No. This is the First Symphony.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But it was interesting in talking to people and talking to the audience members. It wasn't about a nostalgia. It wasn't about roots. It was just listening to great music.
Great music.
And so it's music can so often be different sorts of ambassadors.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.